If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy, Tim Fucking Geddes.
Those are some quality plumes, Bless.
Coming out the smoke machine?
Oh, yeah. You see that?
No,
there
I missed it.
There was power there. There's a lot of, a little less there.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
see, no, that, now it's good. Now it's good. You see that? A little dissipation? That's not the word.
That always happens. The dissipation. No, you're somewhere
dissipation.
There. Dismemberment.
I have no idea at all. I'm doing pretty good. I don't know if that's what you
are
asked
you sure?
me, but I'm excited that you are back. You've been gone the last couple days. Took a couple days off because of PAX East. How's everything been?
Everything's been good. Oh man, I'm playing a lot of Hades.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I know it's random.
So you've been great.
I've been fantastic. So like we did the we got the Stellar Blade demo that I believe I can talk.
You can
about,
talk
right?
about. Yes.
Yeah. And I played that. And I believe we gave impressions on Gamescast, right? Mm-hmm. Played through it. Absolutely loved it. Was like, oh, man, this is great. Can't wait for the full thing. Shout out to PlayStation for providing us with the code. But as I finished that, I was like, I need something else. I need something to, like, fill the void before Stellar Blade. And I looked at Dragon's Dogma 2. And I was like, okay, well, people are loving Dragon's Dogma 2. So let me see if I can jump into it. I booted it up, played 5 seconds, closed out. I was like, I'll come back to this later. I'm not in the mood.
You got the devil
I was like,
in you.
What am I in the mood for? I want something that's going to speak to me in my taste. I want something that's going to speak to me in my sensibilities. And then I remembered that in 2020, Hades came out. And I never finished it.
Oh,
like, I never even finished one run.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I got to a boss that was... it's like one of those bosses where you're fighting two bosses at the same time. And that's like my least favorite mechanic in any video game. And so I got there and I was like, I'll come back to this later. I never got back around to actually beating Hades. And so I was like, oh, you know what, man? Like Hades is it.
Yeah.
Like that is what I got to play. And so I've been playing the last 2 days. I got past that boss with ease.
Let's go.
I've gotten to the final, quote unquote, final boss fight a couple of times now. And I've not beaten it yet, but I've gotten close.
That's awesome.
And I am in it. This is a video game. I don't know if you heard about this game, Hades.
Baby.
Hades
is
a fucking video game.
And Bless, what if I told you Hades 2 is coming out this year in some
in
type
early
of
access,
early
yeah.
access form? That's wild to think about,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Like, we'll see, but I believe it, kind of.
And here's the thing. The other thing got me that maybe decide on Hades is I was listening to Friends for a Second. They had an interview with Ken Levine talking about Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you saw of this, but they were talking about what is Judas? How's it go? And like, you know, they're essentially talking about like the roguelite structure of it. And the way Ken Levine was talking about it, he was like, yeah, like, you know, you're meeting characters, you are siding with certain characters. Like, he has a lot of narrative ingrained in there. He's doing all
narrative
the Ken
Legos.
Levine shit. Narrative Legos. Yeah, he was talking a lot about narrative Legos. And as he was talking about it, I was like, this reminds me a lot of Hades. I should mm-hmm. just go back and play Hades.
I got you.
And dude, like, that, I can't believe that game is that good.
It's so good.
Like, it comes together so, every decision made in that game is a good decision.
A game with presentation that good shouldn't be that good as a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta choose. You can't have both
you
perfect
can't have
presentation
all.
And perfect gameplay.
Great
unless
soundtrack,
you're Hades, I guess.
Great art direction.
All of it.
Great characters, great writing,
voice
great
work.
Voice acting.
Oh.
And then great like gameplay, right?
Tight
like the
as
systems
hell
are
gameplay.
Awesome. My only thing is that my thumb hurts while playing that game.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it is a lot of tapping square, even though I'm playing on my Steam Deck. So I'm
yeah.
like tapping X on that Steam Deck, right? And then also like I'm doing a lot of like the dash attacks. And so it's just me mashing two buttons just all over the place. That's my only thing is like I think that's why I actually fell off the first time is it felt a bit too button mashing that way. But once you like come back around to it and like, you know, just you know, get through it. It's so fun.
It's
such
so
an incredible
good.
Time. You know
before,
what else?
Before we get into everything real quick,
yeah.
I do want to send some sweet, nasty love out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maximilian Dude, one of my favorite creators out there for a very long time. He's like core to the fighting game community, but also very, very core to the Final Fantasy VII community.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at him as definitely one of my favorite go-tos when it comes to theories and lore and just excitement hype. For Final Fantasy VII and many other things. And he's an amazing human being, does so much great stuff, and just makes incredibly awesome content. He's been getting a lot of bullshit recently.
Oh, no.
A lot of dumb motherfuckers on the internet just being upset at him and his coverage of Final Fantasy VII in some way, whatever the hell it is. It doesn't even matter. That doesn't matter at all. What does matter?
Did he not like Queen's Blood? Because I'll join them.
No.
Okay.
He's very positive. People are just mad at the way... At, It doesn't matter.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. But lovers are gonna love. And there's a hashtag, thank you, Max Dude. Of course, dude is spelled with two O's. Mm-hmm. D-O-O-D. Thank you, Max Dude. If y'all have any great memories of Max, send it out there. Use that hashtag. Give him all the love you possibly can, because this man deserves it. He does not deserve any of the bullshit. And love always wins, everybody.
Love always wins. Speaking of love, something I love, Knuckles, the Echidna. Mm-hmm. Barrett, I dropped a thing in assets, if you can bring it up. Because as we went live, they dropped the poster for the Knuckles TV show. And I just had to show this to you, Tim.
April 26th, we are less than a month away, bless, from Knuckles getting his own show on Paramount Plus.
It's him with his hat on, his cowboy hat on. It looks fantastic. And I love that they don't call it a TV show. Nope. They call it a 6-episode streaming event.
Because they got to be accurate, you know?
If you showed this to me 5 years ago, I would have punched you square in the face for lying to me. Yeah. There's no way that Knuckles is getting a 6-episode streaming event.
Gotta love it.
Voiced by Idris Elba. You gotta love it.
You really do. And it looks like it looks like the movie.
It's
pretty
crazy.
Damn impressive, man.
Pretty dang impressive. Tim, enough about all that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Take Two buys Gearbox, our Pepper Grinder review, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news needs to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, new Kind of Funny XCast is up right now, breaking down Phil's big interview. That sounds like a movie starring Seth Rogen. You can check that out over on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games.
It's the sequel to Max Keeble's big move.
I was thinking that, but you jumped to the interview.
Oh, yeah. I was like, where did I get Seth Rogen from? That's really funny.
That's very funny.
Phil's big interview. Barrett, what's that about? Also, what interview did he do? I missed this. I've been gone for the last 2 years.
He was on. He did an interview with Polygon or something. It was a very direct interview talking about the layoffs and all this stuff that's been happening the last few weeks.
There you go.
Also, shout out to this TV that I'm in right now that's doesn't want to work today.
Yeah, you know.
Wait, though, the left TV is off
once in a while.
Yeah. It seems to be both the SDI cord and the SDI HDMI converter that both just don't work today. Mm. Who knows why?
Hate to see it.
I had a joke
that floated up, and I was like, nah, I can't make that joke. I was gonna be like, you gotta pee after sex, or else we're getting SDI. But also, that's not true. It's UTI. Tim. Housekeeping for you. We got more housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers.
What is happening in the studio the last couple of days?
I think there is a gas leak.
We are losing it, everybody. We are fucking losing it. Yesterday, me and Andy on Games Daily, bless. We did something.
What did you do?
We just did something. We did a show. We got through it somehow.
I don't know how they did it. But I don't know how.
I don't know how. Did you hear about what happened with Greg on Monday?
No. Well, I saw he got a vasectomy, right?
Yes, and he started the episode by saying, on May 10th, the cum factory closes.
I did see that. I like that clip a lot. I rewatched that clip like 10 times. That was great. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Take-Two buys Gearbox from Embracer and confirms development on a new Borderlands game. This is Rebecca Valentine at IGN. Embracer Group has officially divested Gearbox Entertainment, selling the division to Take-Two Interactive for $460 million. In a press release, Embracer shared that it is divesting Gearbox Software, Gearbox Montreal, Gearbox Studio Quebec, and the franchise Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brother in Arms, and Duke Nukem. Embracer will retain rights to Gearbox Publishing San Francisco, formerly Perfect World Entertainment, in which it plans to rename. The publishing rights to Remnant, Hyper Light Breaker, and other unannounced games, Cryptic Studios, Lost Boys Interactive, and Captured Dimensions, all of its retained assets will be integrated into the other parts of Embracer Group. The sale is expected to close by the end of June. Gearbox will join Take-Two's 2K division and will continue to be led by CEO and founder Randy Pitchford. Currently, Gearbox has both a new Borderlands and a new Homeworld game in development, as well as, quote, at least one exciting new intellectual property per a separate press release. Notably, the full purchase price of $460 million will be paid to Embracer Group in Take-Two shares rather than cash. For comparison, Embracer originally purchased Gearbox for $363 million, half in cash and half in newly issued Embracer Group shares, with an additional consideration of $1.015 billion, also partially in shares, to be paid out if Gearbox hits certain targets within 6 years. A lot happening here, Tim.
A lot happening here. And I don't fully follow some of that that they're talking about at the end, of the additional consideration of $1 billion in shares to be paid out if Gearbox hits certain targets within 6 years. So Embracer's going to get money if Gearbox does well?
They were going to get money if Gearbox did well.
Okay.
I believe this is, before, this is giving context for, like, the original deal.
Got it. Embracer got Gearbox. That makes so much more sense. Cool. Yeah, I mean, hey, this is one of those weird ones to talk about where it's like, it's a good thing, but also it is just another acquisition.
Yeah.
But it's an acquisition from the bad guy? The enemy of the enemy is my friend?
Wait, which one is the bad guy? Take Two?
Embracer.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? It is good to be unembraced.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it also, I've already seen this has led to layoffs already.
Yeah.
And it's like redundancies and things like that. So, you know, tough times out there. It is a very tenuous journey when you look at Take Two and 2K, two things that I can never keep straight in my mind.
Mm.
And I came in today and I was like, before I get on this show, I'm going to ask some questions to Greg. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look around on the internet. I'm going to try to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
And I think I did, Bless.
Okay.
Do you understand Take Two and 2K?
Yeah. Take Two is like the parent company. It's like, and then 2K is just a publisher under that. But also Rockstar is under Take Two.
But did Take Two acquire 2K? Or was 2K just always a thing?
Oh, that I don't know.
With Take Two.
Yeah.
So that was the question I had. That I was like, what came first?
The chicken or the egg?
Or the egg. The Take or the Two.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out Visual Concepts, the team that makes the WWE 2K games, Graves explained to me. Originally, they made the NFL 2K games, like on the Dreamcast back in the day. And eventually, they got acquired by 2K, sorry, Take Two, and reformed as a new thing, 2K.
Okay.
So 2K, from its technical inception as a name, was always a Take Two property.
Wait, what does this have to do with anything?
Just some facts for people to know.
Okay, cool. I love it.
It's important. Because I'm here for it. Whenever I hear Take Two and 2K, I always forget where things go.
No, I mean, I don't know if you... was this an episode that already aired of Game Showdown, or is this an upcoming episode? I forget. But basically, there was confusion around this. I think it was the Andrea Renee episode. So it's already aired. But there was a thing where there was a question. There was a kind of feudie question where I was like, name a game published by 2K. And guess what people said? Grand Theft Auto, because people don't know how to separate Take-Two from 2K.
That's my point. And sorry, the reason I'm bringing all this up is how Borderlands fits into all of it and how Gearbox fits into all of it. Where Gearbox before, like, this feels like they're going back, but they're not.
Yes. So this is what confused me.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, are you buying them back from Embracer? Because I could have sworn Embracer had bought Gearbox from 2K. But and Tim, you can correct me about this.
Uh-huh.
Gearbox just existed independently, but had their games published by 2K.
With Borderlands being an exclusive IP that had to be published by 2K. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
this is all that said, right? This is an acquisition that obviously this all comes to pros and cons. I think the biggest pro being that you are away from Embracer, and that is a good thing, right?
Totally.
Hopefully a good thing, assuming that Take-Two and 2K are going to take care of you better than Embracer would. Who knows if they're going to take care of you as well as you should be taken care of, but at the very least, knowing what we know about Embracer fucking sucks. And so now you're gone from Embracer, which is a good thing. So I think that being the case, right, you go to, all right, who would acquire a Gearbox? We were talking about this weeks and weeks ago about, all right, who's Embracer selling to, because we knew that they were going to sell Gearbox to somebody. You know, I think we might have brought up either PlayStation or Xbox, right? You brought up different publishers. This is one that makes sense, just given who Gearbox, what is their biggest product?
Mm-hmm.
It's Borderlands, right? Who usually publishes Borderlands, right? It's been 2K. They have that relationship already. There is a synergy there. And, excuse me, you would hope that wouldn't break up that synergy, right? Take-Two and 2K being the owners of Gearbox.
Yeah.
So this all makes sense.
It totally does make sense.
Does suck, though, for like layoffs and things like that, right? Because in here, there's a tweet from Ethan Gotch of Kotaku who tweeted out, Gearbox spokesperson confirms layoffs at the company today as a result of Embracer's ongoing cuts, but wouldn't say how many are impacted. Quote, we're grateful that our talent and capability are of interest to you and your audience, end quote. So again, that comes to the pros and cons thing of that's a very big con, right? The fact that you're losing out on all these people.
Yeah.
Granted, I think under Embracer, you would have lost out on those people.
I lost everybody.
Yeah, it might have lost everybody.
I honestly feel like that's like the inevitable end of that, right? Like, we look at what Embracer's been doing, and it really does, it's a pretty clear story at this point of, if you're not making Lord of the Rings, and even if you are, you're just not safe,
Which is where I want to take this conversation, because who's left under Embracer? We know Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal. Are they, like, Crystal Dynamics, we know, is working on a new Tomb Raider. Like, is that, you think they're an exception? Do you think Tomb Raider's big enough for Embracer to go, I will leave them alone? Well, or do you think they end up going independent or getting sold off to somebody else?
So you're going to have to help me here. How is Amazon related to this? Are they just publishing?
We're diving into the weeds. Amazon, I believe, is just publishing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that with that, it's even more evidence of why would they get rid of it when they already have those deals in place for other people to kind of handle a large portion of the work.
Yeah.
You know? So I can see Tomb Raider surviving, if that's the right word to put on this, with an Embracer.
I hope so. At the very least, I hope we see Crystal Dynamics put out that Tomb Raider and come to fruition.
The hope, yeah.
And I hope they, like, are able to franchise that, right? Obviously, Tomb Raider already a franchise, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, put it out and then have the follow-up game and then continue to do that. Like, my fear is we get there with Crystal Dynamics in Tomb Raider. They put out that first game, and then maybe that is just the fulfillment of whatever that deal is with Amazon, and then Embracer goes, all right, Lord of the Rings are bust. hey, how well is this first Tomb Raider doing? We need X amount of money. That's going to be some unattainable amount, because Embracer needs unattainable amounts of money.
Another Tomb Raider reboot, I think, is a way tougher sell than people might expect. Like, it wasn't that long ago that we got a trilogy of them. You know, like, I feel like we're not far enough away from that. And especially with the way games are marketed now with PlayStation Plus and Game Pass and things, where, like, old games get kind of re-promoted, I feel like we hear about those games very frequently. And I don't know how much different this new one's going to be.
It's got to be different, though.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
But, like, what type of difference is it going to be? And is that going to hit with people? I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be there's extra baggage to Tomb Raider that I think a lot of other games don't have at this point.
Yeah. But I'm, like, typing in Tomb Raider rumors right now to see if there's any information. And this is going to be a kindoffunny.com/you'rewrongthing, Chad. If there's any information about the new Tomb Raider out there. Because I think, coming off of the last three Tomb Raiders, that first Tomb Raider of the reboot trilogy, great time. Mm-hmm. I think everybody loved it. We all had a good time with it. The sequel to that, Rise. I believe it's Rise.
Yeah.
That came out. Unfortunately, it was an exclusive to one platform, which I think hindered it a bit, because it also came out the same weekend as Fallout 4. I know this because I remember it well, because I was like, oh man, well, I'm going to play Fallout 4. I'm sorry. But, like, I think that might have hindered it a little bit, but that was a fantastic game. Like, I remember IGN, Ryan McCaffrey loved it, right? Gave it, like, either a 9 or a 10, I forget which, but, you know, that was a game that came out, did super well. And then by the time it got to Shadow, I think it was both a thing of Shadow maybe not living up to the last couple, / like, I think we got to a place in time, right?
Like,
yeah.
Tomb Raider really did feel like, hey, Naughty Dog's not the only people that can do Uncharted. Like, we can do games like that as well. And they proved that they could. And then I think that by the time that Shadow was coming out, we were getting ready for Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, like, not, the timeline doesn't perfectly match up there, but I think it might, actually, in terms of, like, the announcement of us being excited for Last of Us 2. So I just think place and time matters with all this. And thinking about what a Tomb Raider could look like now, I'm excited about it. I just think that it's going to be a very uphill battle for them.
And I'm trying to look this up. Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Crystal Dynamics?
No.
Or was that Eidos?
That was Eidos.
So was that, like, was that part of it? Right. Was it? Yeah. Eidos Montreal is listed as developer on Steam. And so I wonder if that was a thing of, hey, like, Crystal is where it's at when it comes to Tomb Raider. Like, maybe they just didn't have the stuff.
Well, it's because Crystal couldn't work on that, because they were working on
Avengers.
Exactly.
So I wonder, because I think if you're going to come back with a Tomb Raider, right, whatever this next Tomb Raider is, I think it has to be different. I think it has to be really fresh, because I don't know if another one of, like, those is gonna hit the ones that we just had. I think you got to do something to mix things up. But also, I think there is potential there, right? It being Crystal Dynamics, it being the start of something new, it being
an extraction shooter.
God, no. but I don't know if open world is the answer. I don't know if, like, more RPG mechanics is the answer, right? But, like, I think you had to do something that's going to make people go, oh, like, this is where you're taking Tomb Raider.
This is what I'm saying, though. I feel like this is the uphill battle, because, like, you do that and you please some people, but then there's going to be a large amount of people like, this isn't Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
You know? So it's tough. But also, it's a very valuable IP with important characters and lineage, and the fun's there. We know the fun's there. So
yeah,
I'm hopeful for it. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that it comes out. I hope that it's good. And yeah, I wonder how it's all going to play out, to your point about where is Embracer going to be, because they're making moves right now that
I just hope we see desperation. It. Because I'm so scared that we're not going to see it, because Embracer is going to fuck this whole thing up, right? They've already fucked up a lot, right? And they're already closing all these studios. And again, if it's not Lord of the Rings, then I don't think they want to do it, right? Like, if it's not about to come out, or if it's not like a big moneymaker. And I think that's what Tomb Raider and Crystal have, is that Tomb Raider is a moneymaker, and they have that deal with Amazon. So yeah. I don't think as Embracer, you look at that and go, hey, let's fuck that up, or let's cancel that right now. But after that's done, ooh, you know, like,
yeah,
what's next?
But also, I mean, there's a potential that it won't be the worst thing for Crystal there, where look at Gearbox here, right? It's like they were able to just seemingly get off scot-free. Like, they get to keep their projects. They just get to go and have a new owner. And it seems to, at least at this point, have worked out for them. So that's interesting. Another thing I want to bring up about Embracer Blast that just breaks my heart, like, times two. Time Splitters. All right. On Games Daily, last week, 2 weeks ago, I think it was me and you. A
couple weeks ago,
We watched the footage of it. And I was like, I'm really sad that we're never going to get a Time Splitters game. But also, what is this game? I don't want this weird ass.
Oh, yeah. The thing that looked like Fortnite.
What did it look like? It
looked like Fortnite.
It looked like it looked like a games as a service type game. Like, it didn't look like what Time Splitters is.
Damn.
And I was like, okay, well, I'm sad that we're not getting more, but that's not what I want. So whatever. Saw someone on Twitter talking. It was like, hey, I was working on this team. What leaked was just one of three prototypes of what the game could be. And that was not what the game was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, God, that breaks my heart.
That breaks my heart. And again, this is why you can't always trust leaks. Is like, you know, these can be way early in the process, right? Like, we take leaks and run with it all the time. That's why, like, when it came to, like, the Insomniac leaks, like, I looked at the shit, but I was also like, I can't use this to definitively start to, like, speculate about things.
I mean,
because
you
don't know.
Speculate.
I will speculate, yeah. But there's only a certain distance you can take that to, where none of that stuff is gospel for, like, what's actually going to happen.
Announcements. Yeah. But definitely speculation. Like, I'm going to speculate my little ass off.
Now, I guess the last thing we should talk about Borderlands probably here, because that's exciting, right? The fact that we're getting a new Borderlands game.
We're getting a Borderlands movie, which I haven't seen the trailer until me, Greg, and Nick were sitting down watching Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
And that trailer played, and I had one takeaway from it, and one takeaway alone. I really like this Ariana Greenblatt girl. Baby Gamora. She was in the Barbie movie. I like her a lot. She's Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
She's good.
She's good.
Keep an eye on her.
See, I came out, I watched that trailer. I think it was me and Greg that watched on KFGD, and I was like, looks good. You know, it reminds me of, like, Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, and I'm down for that, right? Like, a fun space comedy and with a wacky cast of characters. Is it going to be as good as Guardians of the Galaxy? Probably not, but yeah, I'm down for one of those movies. I think Borderlands has fun vibes. I also think, you know, Borderlands is one of those ones where, as we get further into it, Borderlands is one of those franchises that I think it is what it is, and that works for it and its audience, right? Hey, it's dumb humor. A lot of people are going to roll their eyes at a lot of the jokes, but shooting's pretty fun. Looting's pretty fun. Ridiculous guns. It's me sitting online with Barrett and, like, me gradually falling asleep over time
both
playing
us,
this game.
Both of us. Yeah. Shout out to those memories of that was before you started at KF. But yeah, every night we'd get online, we'd play Borderlands 3 for like 30 minutes, and then we were both, like, knocking out at the same time on that one boring ass fucking planet.
Fucking swamp planet.
And then we'd have to call each other out like, yo, you falling asleep? Yeah. We should probably go to bed.
We should probably go to bed. But yeah,
Borderlands.
That's good. I like it. I like it.
And now we're getting
Borderlands.
I was gonna say Mortarlands, but yeah, that works too. I'm sorry, everybody.
I see a lot to really say though, that I think Borderlands is, like, one of the few franchises that has perfected its own formula. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I don't even know what you do for Borderlands 4. Four new classes, I guess. Cool.
Four new guns, that's it.
And, like, yeah, four new guns, and that's all. Like, Borderlands is so refined and, like, good, at least good enough to where it's like, yeah, I'll play new Borderlands, why not? It comes out in 2 years, comes out in 5 years, 7 years, sure, I'll play it, I'll be there for it. It's just gonna be more Borderlands, but I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
And so, shout out to Borderlands.
Borderlands is the type of game that I feel like, for as long as I've been talking about video games, anytime there's a predictions episode for an E3 or a Summer Game Fest, it's a pretty safe prediction to just be like, the next Borderlands will be announced.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to get it right. But then one time you are.
Yeah.
Whoever gets those points, you're the real winner.
You're the real winner. If you want to be a real winner, Let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the Kind of Funny membership, where you can get shows ad-free. I forgot the whole thing. It's been 2 days.
Yeah.
You can go and get shows ad-free with the Kind of Funny membership. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the best polarized shades is a breeze. Get ready for a whole new level of clarity with Shady Rays Pro Polarized Lenses. This lens tech is all about tough durability and vibrant colors that pop. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays. Whether it's Tim looking dope during his Pokemon Go walks, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And we're back with story number two. We got a Pepper Grinder review roundup for you. Right now, it is sitting on Metacritic at an 81. It is also sitting at an Open Critic at a 79. I need y'all to pump those numbers up, all right? My fantasy critic is not looking great. I'm going to start off with Abby Stone at PC Gamer, who gave it an 80 out of 100 and says, Pepper Grinder is a short, sweet treat, a good idea executed with great energy. If you're looking for a 2D platformer built to last, get Rayman Legends. If you're up for a faster, leaner platformer crammed with memorable moments, pumpkin carving, and homage to King Kong, an absolute pig of a final boss, Pepper's thrilling drilling adventure is well worth a spin. And then Mitch Vogel at Nintendo Life gave it a 9 out of 10 and says, Pepper Grinder is a wonderfully inventive and fun platformer that no fan of the genre will want to miss out on. It may have a runtime that feels a little too short, but this is ultimately a deeply enjoyable, challenging, and highly replayable game with lots of personality. If you think you'd be interested, we'd suggest you pick up Pepper Grinder at the next opportunity. And there's even a downloadable demo if you're on the fence. The one and only Barrett Courtney from Kind of Funny has played Pepper Grinder. Barrett, have you beaten Pepper Grinder?
Yes, I did beat Pepper Grinder over the weekend. If you don't remember, this is the game that we showed off over at the Spring Showcase Live, where Bless and Tim got to play it with a custom controller that was a drill attached to an actual Pepper Grinder. And I will say the entire time that I was playing it for review, I was thinking, man, I wish I could be playing with that controller.
Yeah, I wish I had that drill.
It just looks so cool. So yeah, I think this is a great game. I think it's a 4 out of 5 that people should absolutely take the time to play. In between all of these huge games, it took me like 4 hours to beat. So it's like, it's really short and sweet. You know, it's a nice afternoon, like weekend type of game that you can sit with. It reminds me a lot of, you know, some of the great indie kind of 2D platformer games like Guacamelee and Shovel Knight that kind of combine your means of traversal with like your means of combat. And it's like, I always love that kind of stuff. And I think what Pepper Grinder does with that, with the drill, using it to kind of essentially like swim around in the ground, but then also use it to solve puzzles and fight little weird green gremlin dudes. Like, it's just really fun and satisfying. That mechanic is just really fun to play around with. And after the first couple of levels, I was wondering of like, all right, is this going to be entertaining enough? Like after like 4 hours or whatever. And I was really surprised of like the entire time I was really having a blast with it, really engaged with it because of like the kind of like the level design gets really fun and like interesting and goes in like unexpected places. The music is such a blast. The boss fights are really fun. And like, it's weird to say, like, they're kind of like set piece moments in this game, which
King
like
Kong, apparently.
Yeah, like very weird thing to say for a 2D platformer, but like they're really fucking cool and fun. And like I was laughing the entire time. And shout out to the final boss, which is going to be a pain in the ass for some of y'all out there. But keep trying. It'll be OK. Yeah, it's a great time. I don't think it quite reaches the highs of like a Shovel Knight or like a Celeste when it comes to a unique 2D platformer type of game, but I think it gets close, and I'm really excited to see what this team does next. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, 4 out of 5, great game.
That's awesome. Hyped. I'm so hyped on every single thing Barrett said about this. I'm just like, this sounds like a Tim game. I cannot wait. We had fun playing it, but yeah, a couple days ago I was late and I didn't realize that the code request came in, and so I missed the boat on that one. And I was like, I'm just gonna buy it. It's totally fine. Not realizing the game's not out yet, so I was just sitting there. And I was like, this is the perfect time for me to play this game, but it's not out. But it is out now, so I'm gonna buy it later today.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's one that I want to get to. I did play a little bit of the review code again. I've been at PAX. I've been so busy the last week and a half. And I really need the last 2 days just so I can sit and play Hades. Mm-hmm. But I played it a little bit on the plane. Don't tell anybody, all right? I don't think I'm supposed to do that with codes. But I had it on my Steam Deck. And, like, you know, I had it, like, close to my chest. I wasn't showing anybody. And I played a few of the levels, and I was like, this seems delightful. The art style of it is fantastic. I love that Devolver Digital is down to publish, like, 2D platformers that are 4 hours long, because the 4 hours thing is very much a selling point for me.
Too.
This year has been filled with such long ass video games between things like Yakuza Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, Persona 3 Reload, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, Dragon's Dogma 2. It's like every game wants 80 hours for me, and I don't have that time to put into every single video game. And I love the idea that I can just sit down for 4 hours with a cute thing and play it and have
get
a fun
the whole
time.
Experience.
And get the whole experience. That's so awesome. And it reminds me of like games like Gato Robato that Devolver put out in like 2018, 2019, something like that. I feel like more of these kinds of platformers and 2D games and like 2D action games should like be celebrated and should come out, right? I love that Devolver is like the one to do it. I remember even like a thing like Katana Zero, which I forget how long that was. That felt like it must have been like 6-7 hours. But even that, it's like, oh, that's a 6 to 7 hours that I remember. I think about Katana Zero all the time. I think about going and playing that game all the time. And so, yeah, I love that games like these are coming out.
Yep.
Let's move on.
We need Katana 1 plus.
Where is the next Katana game?
I don't know, man. I need it.
What are they doing?
I don't know, man.
Make
the way the like cliffhanger at the end of it, I need it, man.
Listen, I'm all for developers taking time, except for one developer. Put out the next Katana game, goddammit. And you, Toby Fox, too. Where is the rest of Deltarune?
Don't even get me started.
I'm tired of it. Story number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Nod restructures around 3 genres. This is Marie D'Alessandri at GamesIndustry.biz. Don't Nod has announced a new studio organization structured around its 3 genres of predilection: RPG, narrative adventure, and action adventure. The company will now be organized in 3 branches named after these genres, with the aim being to emphasize its expertise in these titles and reflect its role as both a developer and publisher. Don't Nod clarified to GamesIndustry.biz that this restructure does not mean redundancies, with a spokesperson saying, quote, there were no layoffs at Don't Nod following this reorganization. In 2023, we witnessed an exceptional year of content featuring a multitude of high-quality games encompassing both small and large-scale innovative titles.
Quote, badass. Let's go.
I know. Simultaneously, it proved to be a challenging period for the industry at large, marked by numerous layoffs and the unfortunate loss of jobs for thousands of individuals, even in cases where critical successes was achieved. Fortunately, we haven't had any layoffs. As we reflect on the year, our hope is to maintain our integrity and resilience in the face of industry challenges. We aspire to continue producing thought-provoking and daring games, contributing positively to the gaming landscape for years to come, end quote. About the restructure, Don't Not CEO Oscar Gilbert said it reflected the company's desire to deepen its expertise in these three genres, with a focus on strategic business growth, aiming at solidifying its position as a market leader. He added, quote, "This new organization reflects our dedication to delivering high-quality games across successful gaming genres. The expertise cultivated within these branches allows us to develop increasingly specialized in-house tools and ultimately cost optimization in production. By improving our productivity and our internal capabilities, we aim to deliver memorable and unique gaming experiences that resonate with players worldwide," end quote. This is my favorite news story.
This sounds awesome. Every single thing said, and the fact that it's even being said, I think is important. And
yep.
Fantastic. Very cool stuff. Seems like very smart decisions, which are things that we rarely talk about on this show.
Yes.
But we want to talk about more. I really respect the team over there at Don't Nod. They put out some really great projects, and they have been really, really doing a lot. So for them to look at that and be like, what's working and how do we make it work better is, yeah, I think, a fantastic way to look at things. And also maintaining your entire team, putting everybody to use in the right ways, in the right positions. This is the type of story that I'm like, cool. I believe that there are smart people in this industry that are trying to make it actually better and really putting the work in to do it. So let's hope for the best here.
Yeah. And the way they talk about it too, like, I really like Don't Nod because they have such strong identity. You know, like, the games they're making, they aren't necessarily going to be these blockbuster, you know, like fucking Destiny, Fortnite. Like, they're not making any of those kind of games. They're not making like Assassin's Creed. Like, the closest thing is Banishers, right? But even with that, there is a lineage there of Banishers is sort of a successor to Vampire in the way, right? And so, like, they're creating, like, you know, this system, they're creating these processes where it is, hey, we know the kind of games we make and we want to be experts in those kind of games. And the kind of games that they make are really cool, like, unique stuff, right? Like, Lost Records is the one that's coming up that seems like it's going to be in that more, I guess, it fits in the narrative, yeah, adventure thing, right? Of, you know, we know Don't Nod for Life is Strange. Obviously now Life is Strange, owned by Square Enix, being developed by Deck Nine, they don't have that anymore. And so they've gone on to make things like Tell Me Why. Now, yeah, Lost Records being the next one. I got so much hype for Lost Records. You know, I don't know if it's going to be as good as Life is Strange. I don't know how it's going to hit, but I hope it does, because I love the idea of Don't Nod getting back in their bag in that realm.
They have the pedigree.
They have the pedigree. Then, yeah, you talk about Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden, which I believe probably fits into the, what, action adventure or RPG. That's probably more RPG, right? Yeah, like, people like that. You know, Greg played it. I forget what Greg gave it. He probably might have given either a 3 or a 4. I forget which, but, you know, Greg played it and enjoyed it. And I go down and Jacent, another one that came out late last year. That's a game that people really dig. You know, you have Harmony, you have Korra, you have Gerda, you have, and then you have Twin Mirror, which was not great. But again, like, I think having this identity, having this strategy even allows you to have misses, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, not every game is going to be a banger, but when we have one that doesn't come through and live up, at the very least, we can have that backed up by our other our other pillars. This, oh man, a kind of funny coffee cup came out of nowhere. Is that what you came here to do? Just to replace my coffee cup? fair enough. A snake version of Greg Miller slithered onto,
yeah,
the stage,
yeah,
and just replaced.
Did.
Is there even coffee Graceful. In this thing? No, it's empty.
No, he just wanted to block the IGN.
I'm pretty sure he's the one that requested this cup. And also, it's a really cool looking cup. I like this IGN cup. All right. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked, everybody.
Moving on to our next.
Real quick, though, last thing I want to say on, yeah, this is, for the amount of stories that we cover of, hey, this team that we know for making this genre of game, now they're making a live service game. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
This team that makes single player games, now they're making a multiplayer game. This is the opposite of that.
Exactly.
This,
yeah,
is, hey, we make RPGs, narrative adventures, and action adventures. Cool. We're going to do those three things, and, yep, we're going to do them separately and correctly.
Like, you know what's awesome is the fact that from the team that gave us Life is Strange, we're giving you Lost Records. And I look at that, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, you know, we got Twin Mirror from them. We got Tell Me Why from them. And, like, I think Twin Mirror, not great. Tell Me Why was fine to, mm-hmm, good. I think people liked it, but it wasn't, like, Life is Strange level or anything. I still look forward to Lost Records. I still, right, want to see them hit with this, right? Like, I love that they're unwavering in that commitment. Hey, you know, we might not have that IP, we're still going to make this kind of game because we love making this kind of game because our audience wants it from us.
And I think an important thing there is narrative adventures are going to be, I think, a lot more not for everybody. Like, how the narrative affects you is really going to change your thoughts on the game, because that is such a big part of what the gameplay experience is. So it's not surprising that it's kind of all over the place in terms of the reception to some of these things, whether it's more mainstream or a little bit more like dialed in, where it's really going to hit for some people, but maybe not for everybody.
Let's move on to story number four. Sega sells Relic and will cut 240 jobs across UK studios. This is Christopher Dring at gamesindustry.biz. Sega has sold Relic Entertainment and will cut 240 roles across Sega Europe, Creative Assembly, and Sega Hardlight. Relic is best known for the Company of Heroes and Dawn of War games, and recently developed the new Age of Empires for Microsoft. Relic will transition to an independent studio and will no longer be part of the Sega group of studios. The majority of the 240 jobs cuts are across Creative Assembly and Sega Europe, while there will be a small number of cut from Sega Hardlight. There is no mention of other Sega UK studios, including Two Point Studios and Sports Interactive. Creative Assembly had already suffered a range of redundancies following the cancellation of its Hyenas project last year. Quote, Sega is working closely with Relic on this shift, and we wish them the best for the future, wrote Jürgen Post, who is newly appointed head of Sega Europe. Quote, I want to sincerely apologize for the worry and understandable distress this news will cause, particularly for those directly affected. These decisions have been incredibly tough to make, and they follow meticulous consideration and deliberation with leadership teams across the business. Change is necessary to secure the future of our games business and to ensure that we are well-placed to deliver the best possible experiences to our players going forward, end quote. Sad news, like always.
240 more.
Yep, 240, which is a large number of people.
It's a large number of people.
You might not feel large because we've gotten so many numbers in the last year, but it is still a large number of people, 240.
It's just still happening.
Yeah.
My God, man.
My question is, we're coming off of that Game Awards announcement with Sega where they're talking about, hey, we have all these new games in development from IPs we love. We got a new Jet Set Radio. We have a new Crazy Taxi. We have a new Golden Axe. Golden Axe, right? I didn't make that up. Yeah, we have a new Golden Axe. We have all these video games happening. Is that, are we going to see that happen?
I mean,
like, do you think that was like a thing greenlit before all this shit?
I don't know, man. Like, that it's complicated because, like, for everything that we've seen from those and heard since, where there's even new ones that were announced after that, I'm pretty sure. It seems like they have their heads on straight about, like, who's working on what, and like that they have a plan. It sounds like these things have been worked on longer than we might have seemed to think that they were. So on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I actually do think that we're going to get a lot of them, because I don't think that any of them are going to be that big, no matter what they're saying right now.
Yeah.
I think that the games are going to end up coming out and being, real talk, what they need to be, which is, what does Crazy Taxi need to be?
It's Crazy Taxi.
It just needs to be Crazy Taxi, you know? So, it is interesting though, because you look at a lot of this. Sega is one of those weirdos when it comes to the dev and publisher side of things, of like, Sega has so many, their hands in so many pots that don't necessarily make sense.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, we, even though we know, we're not really attributing like the Company Heroes, Dawn of War, like all that stuff, we don't think Sega, even
for
though
sure.
Yeah, it's been them for a very long time. And Persona, even I think over time recently, like, we started thinking about differently, but like, we don't think of it as a Sega game. We think of it as Atlas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the type of stuff where it's like, well, we're, the games we're talking about, those are Sega games, right?
For
like
sure.
More like core Sega games, and there shouldn't be a difference, but there just is. So I think those are a little bit more safe, whatever that means.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see, and like, I want Sega to continue to like I want Sega to get to the place where they are putting those games out, because I think we all of us, while watching that trailer, were excited, you know? Like, I think there's something that is fresh, exciting, like, you know, worthwhile about, oh man, Sega can exist outside of what we see as, like, I think there are major three things right now, which is Sonic, Persona, Yakuza. And you're wrong if I'm missing anything out there, right? But like, when I think of Sega, I think of those three things. And obviously, like, they want to capitalize on those. They're talking about making movies. They're talking about doing, like, you know, trying to adapt those IP into other things. I want to see a Sega that reaches into their bag of, hey, what are the IPs that people love from our past? Like, people were ringing up Streets of Rage as well. And it's like, yeah. I want to see
a job with that.
Yeah. I want to see a Sega come back and bring back Streets of Rage and have that hit. You know, I want to see Sega do that same thing with Crazy Taxi. I want to see you do that, especially with Jet Set Radio, because I like Jet Set Radio a lot. I think that's an exciting and worthwhile future for Sega. And I hope it hits. Like, mm-hmm. just because I want that doesn't mean that those things are going to be the financially, like, you know, I don't, that doesn't mean they're going to be huge financial successes, all of them. I think some of them can be, but again, you got to, like, make sure you're treating those things well and make them hit. And, like, yep. that's the thing that I get a little bit worried about is, you know, yeah. in the state of the industry that we're at in 2024, like, you know, in this first half of 2024, and probably will continue to be in, does Sega look at that slate that they announced and go, ooh, okay, we can only do a quarter of these, actually, because we thought we had more money to work with here.
I mean, I'm real hopeful that they are smaller things.
Yeah.
I keep going back to it, and even if they had planned at some point for them to be bigger things, maybe you should change those plans.
Yeah.
Be a bit more realistic. But for some reason, I feel it in my tum-tum, bless.
You feel it?
I think that they're going to get these right. And what does that mean? Swimming in sevens, baby. I think that they're going to hit that level.
Crazy I don't think you'd be swimming in sevens, though.
You got
I don't think you can be. Crazy
not getting a 10. I'm sorry.
I mean, I of course, not a 10, right? But, yeah. like, I feel like a 7 out of 10 Crazy Taxi isn't going to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, well, then they probably shouldn't be making it then. Because yeah. I just don't see it happening. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be real about what that type of game is. Like, maybe an 8, sure. But, like, you even look down the list of games that they're talking about. Like, that's what Sega is, guys.
Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, there's so many chat that's like, I love sevens. Listen, I love my sevens too. But I do think a Crazy Taxi can be a critical success, right? And when I say critical success, maybe not 10 out of 10, but like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, as long as it's good, right?
9 out of 10.
Yeah.
I don't know that
it's
possible.
I think if you make it a hit, if you make it polished, if you make it a really fun thing, like at that point, it's not about, like, obviously you're not going to have like fucking, I don't know, like Kratos walk out of the Crazy Taxi and have like this fucking deep ass narrative that makes people cry or whatever. But like, I think you can have a game that has a really good gameplay loop that looks good, that sings well, that like has a great soundtrack, that is like the original Crazy Taxi game. Mm-hmm. What would you give that out of 10?
Well, that's the problem. At the time, it would have definitely been a 9, like probably a 9.
Yeah.
But like that, things are different now. Games are different. Sega made games different back then. Like, and for sure. Sega then didn't exist.
Yeah. But then it's like, I and
as a hardware.
That, and that's the thing is, I look down the whole roster of games. Some of these are going to be failures, right? I think mm-hmm. there's some of these games where they just don't fit in 2024. And to your point, Crazy Taxi might be one of those things, but then I'd be of the mind of just don't make it. Like, if you're going to make something that's like, okay, well, at the very best, this can be okay in 2024, then skip it and focus on Streets of Rage.
See, I don't know about that, though, because I feel like okay is the goal. That's good. Just make sure that your level of success necessary is appropriate for that.
Yeah.
And, like, don't put too much into this. And I think Sega, the thing is, they make a lot of arcade games.
Mm-hmm.
And arcade games are hard to become like bigger than what they are, which is like quarter gobblers,
yeah,
right? Fun gameplay loops, all that, but like I don't know how much more you can do. But again, that's what you just got to set the expectations correct.
Yeah, I guess to me, when I talk about like critical score, right, or like yeah. how it's gonna hit on the critical level, I'm not attaching like the type of game to like critic score, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm attaching purely like the quality of it. And when I think of 7 out of 10, a 7 out of 10 Crazy Taxi, like I want to play a new Crazy Taxi. I think that'd be dope. I don't want to play a 7 out of 10 Crazy Taxi. I want to play a fucking 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 Crazy yeah. Taxi. Like, I think that is an attainable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I don't know, right? Like, I think I to your point, I think there are some games where it is, all right, this is old, right? Like, this is something that is, you know, caught in the past. But that's the case, I guess my question is, what is the last 7 out of 10? Oh, actually, no, this is a bad question. I'm already answering my brain, but I'll ask anyway, right? Like, what are the 7 out of 10s that do well, that sell well?
I mean, I think that there's a lot. I can't.
Like, the ones that come to mind immediately is something like Only Up.
Well,
but I think that's a different thing, right? Like, that's designed for virality.
That is different.
I would say every sports game every year.
Yeah, but again, that's a different thing. Oh, there we go. The monitor's on.
We're seeing if it's connecting.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I'd be down to play a 7 out of 10 Crazy Taxi. I think it's kind of weird to expect anything higher for a Crazy Taxi.
That's where I'm at. I think looking at the list of games,
I'd rather
Shinobi,
play that than a 4 out of 10 Crazy Taxi.
Yes. Which also
I think is the more likely scenario.
Possibility.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest here. Like, just
but I think we're aiming too low. Like, if I don't think in Sega they're sitting there like, yeah, let's put out an okay Crazy Taxi for it to come out and not do the numbers that it needs and then end up having to like shut down that team or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I think you have to aim for success with these things. And I think aiming for success also means making great video games.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a 7 out of 10 is great for Crazy Taxi. Like, that is just where it can hit. And Shinobi, to me, is the one that I think has the most critical chance of being a 9 out of 10 of the games that they announced there. Looking at that gameplay, I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like a modern game. a modern retro game. But like that looks like a game that we would talk about in the same conversation as Pepper Grinder or Ori or a whole bunch the different like 2D platformer type games coming out, 2D action games, Katana Zero, things like that. I think that has a chance at actually like hitting, finding an audience, people rocking for it, cult classic, all that stuff. Some of these other ones though, they are what they are.
We'll see, man.
Sega games.
We'll see. Tim, Crazy Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
When that drops, could be big. But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
Well, you'd go to our last story, the Wii News channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
Why are we doing live fixes? Can we not do this during the show? Story number five, we have Wii News. Predator Hunting Grounds is coming to Xbox Series X and S and PS5 in late 2024. Earthblade has been delayed out of 2024. We're going to come back to that in a second. Nine Souls launches May 29th on Steam, and then additional content for F-Zero 99 is now available. You're getting mirror tracks in the Mirror Grand Prix. You're getting steering assist and expanded practice mode. Here's the thing, Tim.
Yeah.
My fantasy critic is in shambles. Because was I relying on Earthblade coming out in 2024 being a big hitter for me? Obviously, that's the game that's coming from the studio that did Celeste. I forget their new name, but Maddie Makes Games. Maddie Makes Games. I thought that was going to be, I still think it's going to be a banger, right? I needed that to be a banger in 2024. Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to cut that off the roster. And now what am I left with?
I know. I had the same problem. I have Untitled 3D Mario game.
Oh, you're fucked.
I know.
You're fucked.
Oh, man. Barrett, did you just bring up Nine Souls gameplay?
Yeah, Nine Souls was the first video I put up.
Can you bring that up again?
Nine Souls is one that Andy talks about a lot. It's like a 2D action platformer that also has like Sekiro vibes to it.
This looks so goddamn cool. Every time I see it, I'm just like, this is...
Yeah, this looks sick as hell.
It looks similar to a lot of things we've seen, but like kind of just taking the best from a lot of things and putting it together. And I just love little furry white creatures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Looking out for this one. May 29th.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah, because you have the Pomeranians. That makes sense.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks really cool.
Look at that sexy devil, man.
Yeah, I was a sexy devil, man.
Because here's the thing, right? I got Rise of the Ronin on my fantasy draft, and that ain't do shit for me. Rise of the Ronin has a 76 on Open Critic. I need more than that. Grand Blue Fantasy versus Relink. That did fine. You know, that has an 81. But now I got to cut Earthblade. Mm. And I got Pepper Grinder on here, too.
Damn, dude.
And Pepper Grinder getting good reviews.
Points. Yeah.
But, like, I need a Pepper Grinder to come in at an 85.
Yeah, dude. I had two... bets that I was pretty confident in and didn't work out for me. One was Peach Showtime and one was Penny's Big Breakaway. I thought that was going to be like a high 80. Mm. It wasn't.
Now here's the thing. I still have Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. And if that somehow gets delayed into 2025, I'm throwing hands at somebody. You can't put out 2024 and 2025.
You can't be doing that.
But yeah, and I got some slots in there. It's all right. And also, I think I have the most like open slots out of anybody here, which puts me in a really good place because I'm just going to wait it out. Summer Game Fest is coming.
See what's going on.
See what's going on in the fall.
Miss Envy, I don't know what game you're talking about. If you could tell me, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Where's that at? Let me find Miss Envy's.
Well, that's it for Wii News. What's up, Barrett?
You still trying to trade a Vowed?
I mean, it depends on what you're offering.
Nothing.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I'm keeping because Vowed's not going to be bad. Like, no, there's no way Vowed's going to be bad.
But you keep trying to trade it.
Yeah, because I don't think it's going to be a fucking banger anymore. I lost faith after the like, Xbox, what do they call it, Developer_Direct. It looks like a good game. Mm-hmm. It looks like a good video game.
Yeah.
But, like, I need bangers now. I need bangers only.
Less than bangers.
Roger's offering Homeworld 3, pussy.
I'm not taking Homeworld 3. I'm sorry. No, that's not going to happen. Anyway.
We got some super chats.
We do have some super chats. Cognitive Clip says, I don't care if Take-Two wins. I just need Embracer to lose.
Yeah.
I get it, man. And then Jake Eisman says, Dream Final Fantasy VII Rebirth spoiler cast panel. Tim, Bless, Emron, Maximilian, Ben Starr. KF can make it happen.
I wish, man. That sounds like a dream for me.
I think the problem there, like the biggest obstacle is probably scheduling, right?
Yeah.
It's like lining all those people up at the same time. Like, I'm sure we can get any one of those people, but it's like, can we get them on the same day?
Be amazing. It'd be truly amazing. I know Max just did the spoiler cast with the Easy Allies, and I cannot wait to listen to it.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
4 hours.
Wow.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty neat.
And the spoiler cast they did, that group with him on for Remake, was one of my favorite pieces of content in a long time. Yeah. So I'm excited for this. This is the game that Miss Envy was talking about. What is it called?
This is like an open critic suggestion, like a fantasy critic thing.
Doronko Wonko.
Doronko Wonko. You're just the little white Pomeranian. You just play to get dirty.
Oh, and it's free to play. Doronko Wonko.
I'm Doronko Wonko in tonight with G.
Oh man, I don't listen. All right, make sure you pee.
Moose is gonna watch.
Make sure you pee after, or else you'll get an STI. We got Mental Gear Gaming wrote in and says, "Do you guys cover Screenbound?" I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
I'm gonna look this up. It better be something appropriate, because I don't trust y'all sometimes. Wonko. Oh, okay. This is another video game. Screenbound.
Another video game. Who the fuck would have thought?
I don't know, man. I don't know if people would be put in there. I just be diving. Oh, yeah. People keep tagging me in this.
Dude, this how looks cool is it, man?
Really cool. So for people listening, right? It's like a 2D platformer and 3D platformer at the same time, where like you have your little Game Boy in your hand in first person, and like you're moving across like the Game Boy screen in 2D as a 2D platformer, but you're seeing it happen in like the background of like the 3D environment at the same time. It's hard to explain, but it looks really cool. And yeah, cool. I want to know, yeah, what the deal is with this. Like, first of all, how? Like, that's my first question, is how. Second of all, can I get a preview though? You know, like let me get my hands on this thing. Let me try it out. So yeah, it looks really rad. But yeah, people keep tagging me in this. Looks cool. Do we have any other super chats? I got all these tabs. Oh, here we go. B Blanco says, "Hey Tim, where are the invincible screencasts?"
I don't know, man. They're not here. They're just not here. I'm telling you, it's so hard to get everybody to watch things at the same time and then be able to talk about them at the same time.
I feel that.
It's just fucking hard. I mean, even I'm usually at the forefront of a lot of the shows and stuff. I am behind right now. Now the new episode came out. I'm two episodes of Invincible behind. I'm one episode of X-Men 97 behind. Episodes of Shogun behind.
I watched the first of the two episodes for Invincible.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. You should get to it. And then I watched, did I finish the last X-Men? How many episodes of X-Men are we in?
Three now.
I watched two of them.
Yeah.
Great. I forgot how much I loved X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
And they reminded us.
We've had multiple
decades.
They
slapped us in the fucking face.
What year is it? We've had like multiple decades of just whack on-screen X-Men content that I just forgot. Like watching X-Men 97 is bringing me back to, I was a big X-Men Evolution kid, because that was just what was on TV I was a kid, and I loved X-Men Evolution. And watching, I'm like,
Shadowcat, let's go.
Oh my, don't get me started about Shadowcat. But like, man, watching X-Men 97, I'm like, first of all, the writing is on point. Like, as an adult, I am like seeing all of like the parallels between what they're doing in like the show with the mutants and the humans versus like real life civil rights and like social politics and all this stuff. They're doing that stuff in ways where I'm like, yo, y'all kind of nailing it.
They
like,
fucking got it.
Y'all are killing this shit.
Only the two episodes I've seen. It is vastly superior to anything that's come before, yeah. I think.
Dude, they made Cyclops cool as hell.
Cool as fuck.
He's like blasting or like move himself around.
He has
like a top three superhero landing in this cartoon.
Dude.
It's sick as hell.
Give me the forecast, he says. Before Storm comes.
And they say, and what they say, Omega level threat
Omega
detected.
Level threat detected. God
X-Men 97
damn.
Is where it's at right now. Y'all got to be watching
and Invincible.
That.
We
and
are
Invincible.
Thriving with dope ass animated stuff.
When is The Boys?
June.
We're eating.
Yeah, man.
Superhero content is great right now. And it's crazy how good superhero content is with the MCU just being absent this year. Aside from what? Deadpool?
Deadpool's the next one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the fact that we can like have a Marvel-less year, you know what I mean?
Hey!
And, the fact that we can have a Marvel-less year and still have it be a Marvel-less year for hero shit. God, we live in a fantastic
time. We also,
timeline.
Hey, don't forget, Bless.
What's that?
You know, Madam Web wasn't where it ended. We also have Kraven the Hunter coming later. God. And we also have Venom, The Last Dance, all this year. Get hyped, everybody.
I've not seen one of those Sony, like, Spider-Man villain movies.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to try and die without seeing any of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get to the end of my life without seeing one scene from Venom.
We'll see.
Wish me luck. You know what I did watch? Dune 2. And here's the thing, Tim. I fell asleep. It was late.
How is that even possible?
It was a long week
so
at PAX.
Loud.
It was a long week at GDC and PAX. I sat down at, like, what, 7 p.m., 7:30. I got past the first act. I was like, this is great. And then, like, it's funny because it's when they started transitioning into some really cool shit that's where my body was like, all right, it's nap time.
That was not an indictment on the movie. At all.
No, not an indictment on the movie. Yeah, just me being tie-dye and needing a blankie.
Yes, I get it.
But yeah, I want to go back and watch Dune 2 again because I missed a lot of shit, but I did catch the ending. Goddamn, mm-hmm. What a cool movie.
You gotta go back.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna go back. Let's head back to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. This is where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube, listen later on podcast services around the globe. Cider Fry says Crystal is also working on Perfect Dark. I don't know if that's a you're wrong, but thanks for that.
God, what's up with that game?
What is up with that game? You know?
I do know.
Because what's up with Everwild also? I know it's unrelated.
I care about that less, but no, I get it. rare adjacent games.
Yeah. It's like, what's happening? That's not a year wrong. Oh, here, Infinite Nerd says Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League Season 1 releases today with Joker, and the community is hyped for additional content.
The community. The
communities.
Watch community.
The streets. The streets of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Show me four people still playing that game.
Bander SN says, Bless said MCO has been absent, but Echo came out this year. Echo. All right.
They just be hating, man.
Listen, I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about something that would have actually put me to sleep, yeah, it would have been Echo. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That and the most, like, the last, like, three Marvel TV things. Well, it was Echo. It was Secret Invasion. And there was something between those, right? Mm-mm. Is it just those two? Either way, fell asleep. Would have fallen asleep. I just can't do it anymore, Tim.
I respect it, but I get it.
What's happening? What's going to be the future of Marvel, of MCU?
It's going to be good.
Wait, what is?
It's going to be good.
But what is it, though?
I don't know.
Because they're not going to do Kang stuff anymore, right?
We'll fucking see. They don't know. We don't know.
Nobody knows.
Everyone fucked up everything.
Just fucking throw it all away.
I blame the people.
Just do another airing of Loki season 2 and then
that's
start
what I'm
all
saying.
Over.
We can hate on all we want, but there's like some of the best shit we've ever gotten is happening as well.
Yeah. 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 Give me Shang-Chi too. I'm ready.
Hell yeah. I think they're going to fast track that shit.
I hope so, dude. I love Shang-Chi. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Tim. This has been another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.